You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Great to have you with us. We got a great show coming up for you today. Can't wait to get into it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM Radio Stream, mobile app, smart speaker. And you can always go back and catch any of our shows from the past, any of our local shows. You can do that via the website at kgymradio.com. Just go to podcasts. You can also hit us up on Apple or Spotify. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. Isaac Elzinger on the other side of the glass, our producer once again here on a Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. The great Phil Steele will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will talk Iowa State, Big 10, Big 12 football, college football, of course, which gets underway with a few games this weekend and then in earnest the following Saturday for most teams the following Saturday. But a lot to talk to with Phil Steele. We'll tell you how you can pick up the Phil Steele College Football Magazine as well. We'll give you that website and give you all that information with Phil coming up in just a little bit. Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker comments today with the media down in Iowa City and more, including yet another stop on the I never thought I would ever see that happen parade in college athletics. 319-366-1600. That is a text line, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there listening to the program, however you choose to do so here today. Isaac, good afternoon. You're looking good over there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I am ready for college football to return. I'm ready for this weekend and next weekend.
Who's not?
Yes.
Who's not? Football, football, football. Give it to us. We're ready to go.
And I'm done talking about it. I'm ready to just see it happen.
I know Mark is ready to see football happen as well. Good afternoon.
I am. Good afternoon, Scott and Isaac and everyone out there. And nothing more than Phil Steele to whet the appetite of a college football season. As always, looking forward to our visit with him.
Yeah, looking forward to that. That'll be coming up in about 23, 24 minutes. We'll get you an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update prior to that, and that's brought to you, of course, by our good friends at Emil Sideaway on First Avenue Southeast, right across from the Lindale Mall. So we will do that coming up in just a little bit. Again, that text line, 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. And Phil Parker, Iowa's lauded defensive coordinator, meeting with the media earlier on today. Both coordinators are going to meet before the season gets underway, or at least, yeah, I believe that is the case anyway. But Phil Parker today, and it's typical Phil Parker. Speak softly and carry a big stick, I think, Mark, is the way we can describe Phil and his defense. Didn't have a whole lot to say. Talked a little bit about what he believes is going to happen with his defense this year and a couple of folks that are on the sidelines, at least temporarily right now.
Yeah, there will be more consequential interviews this season, I would hope. But Phil Parker asking about his shoulder surgery and how it happened and said, yeah, bumped and tore the shoulder pretty bad. But then he talked about his players on defense, and two of them he expects to be available for the Illinois State game a week from Saturday. They are defensive backs Cohen Entringer and Xavier Wampa. Entringer is practicing, although on a limited basis, and Parker expects Wampa to be back in a couple days, but Wampa obviously been a starter. Entringer has played in a lot of games his first two seasons.
Really has. And, you know, other than the shoulder surgery, life is good if you're Phil Parker right now. You're thought of as one of the best defensive coordinators. I got to think top five coordinators, maybe top three defensive coordinators in the country. Probably could have had a head coaching job if you elected to do so by now. But feeling pretty good with two basic All-Americans going into the season. Preseason, albeit, but with Jay Higgins and Sebastian Castro, among others, this is one of the better defenses, and Iowa's had some great defenses over the last handful of years.
Exactly, and there's you always lose players from year to year, but a great nucleus returning for the defense, which behind Ohio State may be the best in the Big Ten. And you add in, I was surprised at this. 24/7 came out with its all true freshman team, and Reese Dockin, the punter, is on it. First team. Punting is winning, right?
Well, that's what I've been told and heard. We'll see. Big shoes to fill, obviously, with Torrey Taylor on your Chicago Bears. But Iowa fans hope they don't have to punt nearly as much this year as they have had to punt the last couple of seasons. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, again, that is 319-366-1600. That's the football news. There's some more football news, non-Iowa news, that we will get to coming up in just a little bit. Do want to talk a little college hoops as well with you on this Tuesday afternoon and in mid to late August. But there is news coming out of the Maui Invitational today. College basketball's, well, at one time, elite Thanksgiving week tournament. Always has seven of the top teams in Division I basketball, along with Chaminade, a pretty good Division II team, albeit a Division II team that is located in Hawaii. But, of course, the Iowa State Cyclones are going to be associated with the Maui Invitational this year. It is a super field once again, and we now know the matchups for the first round and how it is going to play out. And they will be back in Lahaina this year, of course, with the wildfires going through Maui last year and all that terrible devastation. They moved it to Honolulu last year, but it will be back in its usual spot, the Lahaina Civic Center. Probably smaller than a lot of gyms in Class 5A and 4A here in the state of Iowa, but a very, very intimate setting for basketball. And Iowa State, I think, got an okay draw, considering all the teams down there, Mark.
Iowa State will face Auburn, coached by Bruce Pearl, the former Iowa assistant. Had a great run in the NCAA tournament last year, as did Iowa State. And one thing about the bracket that you alluded to was that, at least in the first couple rounds, Iowa State will avoid two-time defending national championship champion UConn. In the same bracket as Iowa State, Dayton and North Carolina, Iowa State will play the winner or loser of that game. They play out to eighth place, actually, in this tournament. But the upper bracket is pretty solid as well.
Not bad, yeah. You take a look at the upper bracket. You've got UConn and Memphis. Now, Memphis, always talented with Penny Hardaway. Haven't really lived up to that talent and those expectations over the last couple of years, but that's still going to be a very, very good game. That kind of kicks things off. Winner of that one will get Michigan State or Colorado. Do not sleep on Colorado. And Michigan State, we know what Tom Izzo is going to bring to the table. They are going to have a very good team. As you mentioned, the third game, top of the bottom bracket, is Iowa State and Auburn, and then North Carolina and Dayton. And do not sleep. Dayton, I would not be shocked with what Dayton has coming back this year, Mark, if they beat North Carolina in that game.
Well, up and down, it's going to be a tough tournament, and that's good. This tournament is November 25 through 27 in Maui, so a great early season test for all these teams.
The only thing you do not want to do in Maui is go 0-3.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you do not want to do. There is no Chaminade this year, by the way. I just noticed that. Not in the tournament this year. How about that? Well, now 0-3 is not quite as bad, but you still want to avoid 0-3.
Yeah, somebody's going to be 0-3, and I don't think it will be Iowa State. I think it's a super matchup in the first round with Auburn. But we'll see how it plays out in November and getting towards the end of football season.
How can they do that to the Silver Swords?
Yeah.
Don't they know they beat Virginia in, what, 1984?
Ralph Sampson might have had something to do with that.
Yeah, Ralph Sampson and that great team with Virginia, maybe still the greatest upset in college basketball history, with Chaminade out on the islands beating that Virginia team led by Ralph Sampson, the great Ralph Sampson. 319-366-1600. So Iowa State gets to go to Maui, then Iowa State football next year, about a year from now. Going to head out to Ireland to play Kansas State in the Irish edition of Farmageddon. Of course, a game in Ireland coming up this weekend to kick off the college football campaign. So that'll be fun. Iowa State's got a lot of big venues they're going to be playing, and very, very good tournaments and very good settings that are going to be playing in the next couple of years. This, I will say this, Mark, probably going to be the last big-time Maui Invitational, and that's sad due to the fact that the big event in Las Vegas is starting this year, the basically pay-for-play. And we'll get more into that coming up in a moment. But the pay-for-play Las Vegas tournament is going to be kicking off this year, going to be doubling next year. Several teams have gotten out of their contracts for where they were headed next year, and that includes Iowa State. They were heading to the Caribbean next year. So apparently, money in Las Vegas trumps trips to the Caribbean, right?
Or Maui, yeah. The Las Vegas tournament is going to guarantee each team a sum of money. And unless other tournaments like Maui and others kind of match or come close to that kind of money, they may take a severe dip. And that would be too bad.
It would. It would. It's still going to have some good teams. It's just not going to have this star-studded field anymore. I will say this. I'll put an asterisk next to it, Mark, until they start doing the same thing. And you know Maui's going to start to do that. The tournament that Iowa State is leaving is going to start to do that. They're all going to have to start to do that in those Thanksgiving tournaments, because if they don't, they're not going to get the top teams.
Yeah, it's a money race, and it's plain and simple. That's the case.
319-366-1600. Love to hear from you on the text line again today. And again, that is 319-366-1600. Let's get back to college football. CBS Sports today coming out with their staff Big Ten predictions for this year's college football campaign. Most everyone across the board, not surprisingly, taking the Ohio State Buckeyes and running with them. A couple of exceptions with Oregon. As far as Iowa is concerned, the consensus is basically between fourth and sixth for the Hawkeyes. Now, saying that, there are bold predictions out there by the staff at CBS Sports, and that includes, I want to make sure I've got this right here in front of me, that Iowa is going to end up in the college football playoff in the inaugural 12. How about that? One of the writers for CBS Sports saying that. That, to me, is a little bit being on the positive side of things. It'd be great if that happens if you're a Hawkeye fan out there. But that means a lot of things got to go your way, Mark.
Yeah, this is an eight-person panel that registered their votes on Big Ten finishes. And you're right, Iowa is somewhere in there 4-6. I think it was Dennis Dodd who said Iowa was going to make the college football playoffs based on schedule and defense that would pave the way to a 10-win season. And 10 wins might get you in. One of the other writers said Nebraska will have a really nice year, but will lose in the Black Friday game to Iowa and finish 8-4, although Matt Rhule will be coach of the year. And some folks believe Penn State is really a team on the upward arrow, Michigan on the opposite end.
A lot of people saying, a lot of the experts saying, three Big Ten teams are destined for the college football playoff, the brand new 12-team college football playoff. And that would, I think that's going to probably fall in line. Three teams from the Big Ten, just because it is an 18-team league, three teams at least, you got to figure from the SEC. I mean, there's half of your field right there, a couple from the Big 12, maybe three. Maybe the Big 12 gets three in. ACC, same two out of three scenario right there. And then that leaves kind of an at-large, and then you're going to have the group of five representative, which a lot of people believe is going to be Boise State. We're going to have to let the season come out and play that out and see. But just the numbers game, I think, is going to help the Big Ten and the SEC this year. And we'll talk about that with Phil Steele, get his thoughts about it coming up in just a little bit. Some wild stuff, like you said, yeah. One of the writers saying Nebraska is going to be playing Iowa to try to get into the college football playoff discussion. Matt Rhule is the Big Ten Coach of the Year, and the Huskers go bowling for the first time in 8 years. That, according to Dennis Dodd. Husker fans got to be happy about that. Got to be happy about that.
Yeah, we've heard that before, and I misspoke. It was David Cobb who had big things to say about Iowa, not Dodd. But we've heard this before about Nebraska, right?
And what about preseason predictions, Mark? That in a quarter will buy you a cup of coffee back in the day.
Yeah, but 2 weeks before the meaningful Iowa openers for people in this state, and something to chew on.
Always something to chew on out there. 322, we're going to talk to Phil Steele coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. We got to talk about this, Mark, before we get into the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. That is the news coming out of Stillwater, Oklahoma today. That, and you heard at the top of the hour on ESPN Sports Center, Oklahoma State football players will now have a QR code on the back of their helmets, or on their helmets at some point, probably the back, that fans during the game can capture the QR code and make a donation to the NIL of that specific player. Good idea, or are we crossing into something that, again, I never, ever, ever, ever thought I would see this, but I guess it's innovative, right?
Yeah, and I'm not overly exercised about this. It's NIL and those involved in that part of football and part of college sports now need to come up with creative ideas. The one thing I'm confused about is head coach Mike Gundy saying, on the one hand, I wish player agents would quit calling and try to get better NIL deals. And on the other hand, in regards to this QR code, says it's a revolutionary step towards helping Oklahoma State stay ahead of the game or get ahead of the game. So, I mean, this is I don't think it's a huge deal. I can't imagine people scanning QR code during a game if they're not already contributing to Oklahoma State. And it's a 1.5 square inch decal of the QR code located on the lower back of the helmet. So it's not intruding on the Cowboys' traditional logo or anything like that. It's, I don't know, something Oklahoma State wants to try and see if it's successful.
So if they score a touchdown, do they turn their head toward the camera? That's what I want to know. First time they do that. First time Ollie Gordon scores a touchdown, and he's, you know, instead of celebrating with his teammates, he's in front of the camera showing America his QR code, or at least Oklahoma his QR code. 319-366-1600. How the heck are you going to even see that enough to scan it? Are they not going to celebrate anymore and just zoom in on the code? It says 13, asks 1345. I think they are. I think that's going to happen, Mark. And I'm going to sit there. I don't know if I'm going to laugh or cry the first time it happens.
I think it's going to happen too. I can see a player using his right or left hand and pointing to the QR code on the back of the helmet. Is that going to be part of a celebration penalty? I doubt it. But I can see it happening too. Why not?
Okay, Isaac. When you are walking, you know, on the University of Iowa campus, you're an intelligent young man.
I like to think so.
After, you know, you do very well on a test, I think you should be able to put a QR code on the back of your backpack.
That's a good idea.
So that people can give you money for acing that particular test earlier in the day.
That's a really good idea. I'm all for that. I'm very pro QR code for me. I want a QR code that gives me money.
There you go. Mark, am I on to something here?
In regards to?
Isaac.
Oh, you're always on point with Isaac. No doubt about it.
Isaac needs a QR code.
I don't deal in QR codes a whole lot. I'm part of a volunteer group that has a QR code, and I think it gets limited use, at least in that regard. I don't know what else Oklahoma State is trying to attract people to contribute to the NIL other than, you know, make a check. You want to contribute to the star baseball player or what have you. I don't know. It's pretty confusing, but I don't know. This won't be the last innovation or the last time you say, I never thought I was going to see this.
And I never thought I was going to see. I didn't even come up with that idea.
You have QR codes on the back of your basketball jerseys. Is that next?
Got to be coming.
I do think it might be beneficial for because, like, I know the Swarm has, you can donate directly to some of the smaller sports. So maybe it would be beneficial to a, like, women's soccer player who maybe people don't know. They have an NIL shop for that player. Maybe that would be more beneficial in that scenario. But for football, most people are already going to know that it exists.
Isaac, explain this to me because I'm ignorant on this fact by and large. But so I'm watching Oklahoma State. Ollie Gordon scores, points to the QR code. Do I have to take my camera in front of the TV and scan that?
Yeah,
usually
it's on your phone. You can just click on it with the camera on your phone and it'll open up a website link for you.
I've only done that registering for a couple of golf tournaments. great question from 7940. Does it go up on the Jumbotron? Interesting. I don't know. That's a good question. That is a very good question. And 1345, same thinking, same line of thinking, probably with the graphic of the player after touchdown. They'll just add the code next to the graphic, probably. And if you've been to Jack Trice or you've been to Kinnick, you know that when a player is introduced or a player has a big play, they paste their picture up on the scoreboard. They usually have, I mean, you can go and find the player's Twitter account now. You can find their Instagram if they have one, et cetera, et cetera. Why not add a QR code to give them some cash right next to it?
I can think of a lot of uses for QR codes. You know, go to the Oklahoma State football page and click on roster and go through all the guys. And in addition to hometown, height, weight, year, you have their QR code. So that's just one I can think of off the top of my head.
Unbelievable. What's next? 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Phil Steele coming up here in just a couple of moments. Need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Prior to that, it's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue, Southeast, Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall. They are next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock today. What do we got?
Final cuts in the NFL are not due until next week, but former Council Bluffs quarterback and TCU star Max Duggan has been cut by the L.A. Chargers. Iowa announced today that Carter Kingsbury, a redshirt junior, has been placed on scholarship on the men's basketball team. Kingsbury has scored 12 points in 13 career games over two seasons. Also at Iowa, a pair of Cedar Rapids Xavier products with great honors. They are Ethan Herkett and Quinn Schulte, seniors who were named to the 16-player player council at the university. No afternoon Major League Baseball games today. Mitch Keller from Cedar Rapids, Xavier, will try to rebound from two really dreadful starts in which he allowed a total of 15 earned runs during those two games against the Padres and Dodgers, but nevertheless, Mitch would like to get his 11th win of the season tonight at Texas.
All right, there we go. We'll take a break, come back. Phil Steele joins us when we return right after this here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have a mix of sun and clouds for the remainder of the day. It'll be nice and comfortable still. And then tonight we'll have some more clouds in overhead with a chance for some drizzle or light rain. Tomorrow we'll get back into some more sunshine and temperatures will climb into the mid-70s. Humidity will be even lower. And then tomorrow night with clear skies, we drop down into the low 50s. We'll have some nice conditions for Thursday and Friday with temperatures in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees before it turns hotter this weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Fry Fest, a celebration of all that is Hawkeye, presented by the Eastern Iowa Airport. On Friday, August 30th, we'll be celebrating 15 years of Fry Fest and Herky on Parade. Get the chance to see all 101 Herky statues at Fry Fest. Take part in the Fry Fest games, kids activities, a concert by Iowa native Maddie Poppy, and the world's largest Hawkeye trade show. Kick off the athletic season the right way at Think Iowa City's Fry Fest. Visit fryfest.com for all the details.
1600 ESPN and Hertine and Stocker Jewelers want to give you free tickets to the biggest football game in the state of Iowa with the Great Gridiron Giveaway. Go to kgymradio.com and tell us how Iowa or Iowa State can win this year's game. When you do that, you're instantly entered to win a pair of tickets to the game September 7th in Iowa City. Plus, you'll automatically be entered to win $5,000 cash in a national contest that you could use to throw an epic tailgate party. It's the Great Gridiron Giveaway from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers and 1600 ESPN.
The second you climb onto a John Deere and sit in the yellow seat, you'll notice that the difference between our 1025R and the competition is more than paint deep. It feels like it was designed with a better understanding of real-world performance needs and features you'll appreciate over the long-term ownership. At City Tractor, we went head-to-head with the competition to prove it. Stop by City Tractor on Penn Street and North Liberty today to see the difference for yourself. You just have to get in the seat.
When you grow up in a family business, shop local just hits different. You basically absorb the idea that these people's jobs, their lives, literally depend on you. and that's pretty crazy. It's also the lives of all the people they impact. So like, somebody chooses my family's business, then our employees choose other local businesses. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond. The ripples just keep expanding and make the whole community stronger.
1600 ESPN is a local business. We're here just like you. Choose local every time you can.
Back on the Gym Class right here at 1600 ESPN as we get closer and closer to the college football season. And we welcome in the guru of all things college football, our friend Phil Steele. And we'll tell you how to pick up his tremendous magazine coming up here a couple times before we close up shop on this interview. But Phil, thanks. Always appreciate the time that you give us here in Eastern Iowa. And should be a tremendous football season, albeit a different football season, because the landscape of college football is off the charts starting this year, right?
Yeah, a lot of big changes, Scott. And, you know, you take a look at, you know, the Big Ten now, 18 teams. In the 30 years of the magazine, I've never had to handicap a 13 or an 18 team conference before. And then, of course, the Big 12 loses Texas and Oklahoma, but brings in some key pieces. So I think it's going to be fun. And if you're an Iowa or an Iowa State fan, I think it's going to be a big year for you.
Yeah, Phil, along those lines, I wonder, in your expert opinion, how much conference schedules play into your evaluations, knowing that the conferences are expanded and not everybody plays one another. Rutgers, for example, in the Big Ten, and to a certain extent, Iowa.
Yeah, I think schedule plays a huge part in my prediction process. You go back to last year, the ACC championship game, Louisville was in there, and Louisville had the best schedule of anybody in the ACC, and boom, there they are in the conference championship game. Same thing with the Big 12 last year. I thought Oklahoma State had one of the best schedules in the Big 12, and they got there. Now, when you take a look at the Big 10, Rutgers has just a dream season. In fact, when I talked to Coach Schiano, I'm like, how'd you get this? They do not play Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, or Iowa, any of the Big Four teams in the Big Ten. And that's just a great schedule for the Scarlet Knights. And one of the reasons that I have Rutgers finishing in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten, which is pretty rare air for them.
Rare air indeed. Well, let's start with the Iowa Hawkeyes. New offensive coordinator. That is obviously the big story in Iowa City going into the 2024 schedule and the campaign anyway. The offense can't get any worse than it's been the last couple of years, that's for sure. But how about this Iowa team, your thumbnail sketch?
Yeah, I think when you take a look at Tim Lester, he's going to look pretty good at the end of the year, because let's face it, last year they were handicapped right from the beginning. Cade McNamara was not 100% even heading into the season, and then was out for the year. And the top two receivers last year, both tight ends, out for the year before Big Ten play even happened. I thought the offensive line didn't quite live up to expectations last year, but when I look at this year's offense, Cade McNamara is back. They add in a Brendan Sullivan, who did a good job at Northwestern. They've got two really solid running backs in LaShawn Williams and Caleb Johnson. The receiving core looks to be upgraded with the additions of Seth Anderson, and I expect more out of Caleb Brown this year. And then the offensive line might be the best they've had since 2000. That's a year when Iowa averaged about 30 points per game. Now, I don't think they're going to get quite to that level this year, but they'll be much better than last year. And then you look at them defensively. I thought Nick Jackson, Jay Higgins, and Sebastian Castro were all going to go to the NFL. They all opted to return. This is one of the best defenses in the entire country. They got my number one linebacking core, number five DBs, and number 13 defensive line. And despite losing their super punter from last year, I still rate them the number 10 special team. So they are still tough. One of the best in the country, defensively, solid special teams. And then something Mark touched on earlier, that schedule. I love it for Iowa this year. They avoid most of the big boys. They do play Ohio State, but there's no Michigan. There's no Oregon. There's no Penn State on the schedule. I actually am favored in 11 of their 12 games this year.
What do you like so much about Jay Higgins? Because you like him on a national landscape.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about Jay Higgins. I mean, you're talking about a guy whose production level is just off the chart. He's also a great leader, and you just couldn't ask for anything more out of a middle linebacker than you get from Higgins. He's got the size you want at 6'2", 233. He can get sideline to sideline. And, I mean, 171 tackles, that speaks volumes for his play on the field.
You mentioned the offensive line, and a lot of people saying that the experience is there. Maybe underachieved a little bit last year. I think they probably did underachieve if you ask them. But we all know that when Kirk Ferentz has a good offensive line, usually things come together in Iowa City.
Yeah, as mentioned, the last time they had a good one was 2020, and that's a year they put up 31.8 points per game, rushed for 4.6 yards per carry, and allowed very few sacks. And I think this year, you know, with the Logan Jones, Connor Colby, Nick DeJean, Jennings Dunker, they are loaded, and Mason Rickman as well. All five guys are back. They're going to be working like a glove as opposed to the individual fingers, which is perfect. In fact, I was just on a Joe Moore committee call, and we were talking about all the strengths of offensive lines. And Iowa, I think, fits right in there with the experience level they have. And having that veteran offensive line, plus having, yeah, I mean, last year, let's face it, guys, teams could stack the line. They didn't really have to worry about Deacon Hill hurting them with the pass game. I think they will have to worry about that with either McNamara or Sullivan.
Big Ten, very interesting, Phil. Ohio State and Oregon, in many people's books, are the cream of the crop. They could meet three times this year. But let's look at those two, plus any other possible, I don't know, sleepers, but maybe challengers.
Yeah, and Ohio State and Oregon are my two favorites this year, naturally. And I'm not really going out on a limb there. When you look at Ohio State, they've got Michigan to thank for this year's team. And I say that because they only lost four players the NFL draft. They usually lose 11 or 12. They could have lost 11 or 12. But there's some guys that weren't willing to leave without a pair of those gold pants that you get for beating Michigan, and they haven't beat them for 3 years. So a lot of these guys opted to return, turn down the NFL just for the fact they didn't want to leave Ohio State with that type of legacy. They also added in a player like Will Howard at quarterback, Quinshon Judkins at running back, Caleb Downs at free safety. Some great additions. Ohio State does look like one of the top teams, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country, and Oregon as well. When you look at the Ducks, yes, they lose Bo Nix, but Dillon Gabriel steps into a great situation with my number one receiving corps in the country, my number three rated offensive line. They've got some dangerous running backs, and defensively they're strong. You look at their linebacking corps, Justin Jacobs and Jeffrey Bassa. They actually have my number seven linebacking corps in the country. And they're solid on special teams. Now, they get to host Ohio State October 12th. And as you mentioned, Mark, they could very well play Ohio State three times, once in the regular season, once in the Big Ten title game, and then once again in the postseason. But a couple other teams to really keep your eye on. One of them is Iowa. I think Iowa's got a great shot at making the playoff this year. But we talked about them. The other one would be Penn State. And with Penn State, you know, yes, they've been in the Big East all these years. They couldn't get past that Ohio State-Michigan roadblock. And this year, they do get a schedule very favorable. In fact, Penn State only plays Ohio State. They avoid Michigan. They avoid Oregon. They avoid Iowa. So it's a nice schedule for Penn State. I think Drew Allar is going to have a much better year. And even though last year wasn't bad, I mean, 25-2 ratio, you can't argue with that. Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen weren't as explosive last year. I think they'll be more explosive this year. And defensively, one of the top defenses in the country. They're another team, like Iowa, that I actually have favored in 11 games this year. And I think the Big Ten gets three or four playoff spots, so I think they're both legitimate contenders. And the other one to look at is Michigan. And with Michigan, I think the key to their season, whether or not they have a shot at the playoff, is going to be the Oregon game at home on November the 2nd. They play Texas early. That's not good for an inexperienced team. Remember, they were number 7 in my experience chart last year. This year, they're number 117. So they're way down there experience-wise. They also have to play Ohio State on the road. If they can beat Oregon on November the 2nd, I rate that one as a toss-up. They'd have a shot at the playoff. But I don't think with the three losses that they would be getting in the playoff this year.
Hey, Phil, before we leave the Big Ten, how do you think the newcomers are going to do, known as offensive powers like Oregon, like Lincoln Riley down at USC? Washington last year, although that's a completely different team than they're going to roll out in 2024. But a lot colder weather, a lot of different factors for those offenses coming into the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think the Ducks will have success offensively, and they're probably, you know, they're right up there with the best offenses clearly in the country this year. And I do think USC will have success on offense and be better on defense. They bring in DeAnton Lynn, coming in from UCLA, who did great work in his first year with the Trojans last year. They brought in some transfers. I think USC will be a good team and could even top last year's 8 wins, but I don't consider them a contender. And with Washington and UCLA, UCLA, I think, is in for a rebuilding year, first-year head coach. Much tougher schedule. They played one of the lightest schedules in the Pac-12 last year. They play one of the toughest schedules in the Big Ten this year. And here's something interesting, and it's what you touched on, Scott, and it's the fact that when we contacted Washington for pictures this year, we said, hey, send us pictures from players from last year that are on this year's squad. And their email reply was, we don't have any. It was a little tongue-in-cheek, but they pretty much have a brand-new team with only one starter back from last year.
In your experienced rankings, Iowa State's got a rank up there fairly high. What about the Cyclones this year, Phil?
Yeah, I'm bullish on Iowa State. And, you know, going through the team with Coach Campbell, I got even more bullish. I've talked to Coach Campbell each of his 9 years at Iowa State, and even every year he was at Toledo. And this is probably the most bullish he's been on any team that he's had coming into the season. In fact, it seemed at the – I always ask the coach at the after we've gone through the position, he's put me in the right order, told me something about the players. I asked him, how do you feel about the position? And almost everyone, he said, hey, Phil, this is probably the best depth. This is probably the most talent. This is probably the best unit we've had since I've been here, and he's been there 9 years. And I'll go back to 2021. Remember, they were number 7 in the preseason poll that year because they were coming off a great 2020 season, had some close losses, and I think the pressure of being in the preseason top 10 hurt them a little bit. This year's team talent-wise is right there, enough to be ranked towards the top 10, but there's no pressure because there is they won't even be ranked at the start of the year. You look at offensively, Rocco Becht was thrown into the fire last year, sort of unexpectedly. He got better as the season went on. I like that. Abu Sama at running back had those big games last year. Nolan Higgins at receiver are dangerous. The offensive line is solid. And defensively, Iowa State's probably got one of the top defenses in the country as well. Definitely a top 20 defense. So when you look at Iowa State, you see a team that could be the best that Matt Campbell's had here in his 9 years, but they don't have those preseason expectations. And that's generally when Matt Campbell does his best work. So I think Iowa State's a legitimate Big 12 title contender.
Which, again, leads to how massive is Iowa and Iowa State in that battle in week number 2 for both teams?
Yeah, heck of a game. Heck of a game. Good thing they don't count in the conference standings, but I think for teams that are coming into the season with so much expectation, personally, you know, on themselves, that it is a big game. You don't want to lose one early. But the good thing is, with the 12-team playoff, you can actually lose a game early and still make the playoff.
Who do you like in the Big 12, Phil? Is it Utah?
Yeah, I went with Utah this year. I think when you take a look at last year, the top conferences in college football, you looked at the SEC, the Big Ten, but I thought the Pac-12 rate last year was right up there with them. And Utah had the toughest schedule in the Pac-12. In fact, they played 4 ranked road games at Oregon State, at USC, at Washington, at Arizona. Now, this is from a team that had won the Pac-12 the previous 2 years. And also a team that lost its backup quarterback in August, then was down to its lost Cam Rising for the season as well. They were down to their number 3, number 4, number 5 quarterbacks. Much like I said, you know, where teams could stack the line against the run because they didn't have to fear the pass. That was Utah last year. Now they've got Cam Rising back. They've got Brandon Rose's backup back. Sam Hurd's back. Transfers in from Cal Poly. Originally signed to Washington. They're loaded at most positions. They're always strong on the offensive and defensive line under Whittingham. And I think they're taking a step down conference-wise coming down to the Big 12 from what the Pac-12 was last year. I do think the at Oklahoma State's a tough one. Also, of course, the Iowa State game will be difficult. But Utah's my pick to win the Big 12 this year. Although, if you guys ask me right now to make a case for like the top 8 teams in the Big 12 and why they can win the Big 12, I could do it for you.
Yeah, parity, I think, is the key word in the Big 12 going into the year.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit that right on the head.
Yeah. Phil Steele joining us here on the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. A lot of the same dynasties at the top of your rankings going in. You know, the usual suspects, the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas, et cetera, et cetera. Is somebody going to jump up there? and maybe get into that playoff.
Yeah, you know, I've got Utah up there. They're not a top 10 team heading into the season, but one that clearly I think makes the playoff this year, because the good news is the Big 12 champ makes the playoff. So even if Iowa State, let's say, loses three games and they win the Big 12, guess what? They're in the playoff this year. And as you mentioned, Scott, the Big 12 is a wide open conference. There are so many teams that could actually win it this year. And then, of course, in the ACC, you've got three teams, Miami of Florida, Clemson, and Florida State. You know, Miami of Florida has underachieved the last couple of years, but they are loaded talent-wise and have a great schedule. They also add Cam Ward at quarterback and Damian Martinez at running back. When you look at Clemson, everybody's beating up Dabo for not hitting the transfer portal, but he's probably got the best team unity in the FBS because they're not losing players to the portal. They've lost three players out of the two deep to the portal. They've kept all their players. They've had great recruiting classes. I think Clemson's dangerous. And keep in mind, last year, they had a 94-50 first down advantage in their four losses, so they were better than the final record. And then Florida State went over the team with Coach Mike Norvell. He says they could actually be better than last year's team. And they've, you know, DJ Uiagalelei is coming in there, a quarterback. If he can play well, they're going to be dangerous. So I think those are teams that are not in the top 10 at the start of the year that all have a shot at making the playoff.
Last for me, Phil, I wonder how difficult the transfer portal is in making your evaluations. Some teams you might need a scorecard, Washington, yeah. Colorado, and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's made it tougher not only on that, but also when we put the magazine out, Mark, because we used to be able to go to the press the middle of May and no problems. We knew everybody's roster. But now with the transfer portal closing April 30th, we knew the players that hit the portal. We needed to know where they landed. So we gave it the entire month of May and the first week of June. Pretty much school started, so you had a sign by about that time, and they did. And we got about 99% of the players on the right team. But we went to the press June 7th, which is later than we've ever gone before. But as far as the evaluation of the teams, I think you have to take a look at when the players get there from the transfer portal. If the bulk of them were in before the spring, it's okay. But if a lot of players are coming in post-spring, then I think you have a lot of trouble assimilating, much like Colorado that you bring up. I think Colorado, you know, they've got five new offensive linemen. Last year's offensive line wasn't good. I don't think this year's offensive line is going to be very good either.
Yeah, and we'll find out as they move into the Big 12. And I have a copy of the magazine. Others need to get a copy of the magazine, Phil, and how do they go about doing that?
I appreciate that, Scott. Now, this year, it's a little different. We're only available at Barnes & Noble. So if you're out and about looking for it, Barnes & Noble or Books A Million are the two places you can go, and those are the only brick-and-mortar stores. Or you can go to philsteele.com. And when you go to philsteele.com and order the magazine, I'm going to charge you a shipping charge. I mean, it costs to ship things, but we give you the digital magazine for free, and we actually update the digital magazine all the way through the start of September. So Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or philsteele.com.
philsteele.com, good way to find out all kinds of great information right there as well. And Phil, always appreciate it. Always good getting together with you, and have fun with the college football season.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for bringing me into the gym class today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Have more for you right after this here on KG.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
At Lowe's, save big every day when you buy in bulk. Save 10% when you buy one pallet or more of select shingles. Plus, save 10% when you buy 68 or more select OSB sheathing. And if you find a lower price in-store or online, we'll match it. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Summer may be slowing down, but the deals at Vivid Seats haven't. Whether it's scoring MLB tickets for a night at the ballpark or locking down the biggest matchups for the upcoming football season, Vivid Seats has you covered. With the only rewards program in the game, plus an amazing selection of tickets, Vivid Seats has something for every fan. Catch the deals you want for the games you crave, all backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Always great to get together with the great Phil Steele. And PhilSteele.com, good spot to go visit and pick up that magazine, the digital edition of that. Or you can go, as he said, over to Barnes & Noble. Spencer on sports. He's coming in next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Want to let you know about the NFL knockout pool that we have once again this year from our good friends at I'm On Communications and all of us here at KGYM. All you need to do is go find the link at KGYMradio.com and sign up. You know how the knockout pool works. You pick a new team each week. If they win, you advance. If they lose, you are out. It is that simple. You must be 18 years old or older to participate. And again, go to KGYMradio.com, not only to get all of the rules, but to sign up. And we encourage you to do so. And a big thanks to all the great people at I'm On Communications. Get fast, reliable internet from I'm On Communications at go.imon.net. The game is on with I'm On. Mark, always good to talk with our friend Phil.
Yeah, as one of our texters said, that was great analysis, and year in and year out, Phil brings it. It's regarded by many as the football Bible, and I can't imagine all the work that goes into it and all the complications that the landscape has provided to him, but continues to crank it out.
Yeah, very uncanny as far as his accuracy of his predictions, which is not easy. I mean, you did that for many years, Mark. You put out a lot of articles in the preseason. Can you imagine what it would be like now?
Yeah, I don't even know what my percentage rate was at the time. But it's fun to do so, get you thinking about college football. And that's what we've done today.
We will talk to Kevin Payne coming up tomorrow. Your fantasy football questions. If you have a fantasy baseball question, you can get that in as well. But I imagine a lot of draft questions about your fantasy football team. So we will talk with Kevin Payne coming up tomorrow. On Thursday, Cole Bear will join us, who covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Crossroads season in Cedar Falls, I think, for Mark Farley and the Panthers. I will get Cole Bear's thoughts about that. So that'll be coming up on Thursday. We'll talk some college football and look at the weekend on Friday. As I think Isaac is working on his QR code as we speak, as he is walking down the campus at the University of Iowa to help fund his good tests. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners